challenge you again, but it's going to encourage you, hopefully, in your faith to be able to take some steps out there to get into what God wants you to do. So let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we're grateful, Father, to be here with you and your people, Lord, and I pray that right here and now is that moment, Lord, where you'll settle our hearts. Help us to focus on you and your word, to focus on what lies out in front of us, things that we can apply our faith to and to step into as we walk by faith, Lord. We are yielding ourselves to you and your Holy Spirit. We yield this room, this building, every heart in here, every person yielded to you, Father, that we may walk in your ways all the days of our life, Lord. Looking forward to that eternal life with you in heaven. Father, we trust in you, we rest in you, and today we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So I want to talk about taking risks. And I thought about that term, just that word risks. If you talk about something or if you title something like that, I think your mind has the opportunity to go in a couple of different directions. Because for some of you, taking risks is dangerous. It was something that you did maybe when you were young and maybe not as responsible as you are now, and maybe taking risks led to some negative consequences. It kind of got you into trouble at times. I've been there, done that, been through all kinds of stuff when I was younger from that very thing of taking risks. Okay, so those kind of actions, I think over, you know, in our own minds, we may have coined them as risky behavior. Okay, something that was, you know, maybe not something that we wanted to do. A dictionary defines risk as a situation involving exposure to danger, or it could be to expose someone or something valued to danger, harm, or loss. That is a risk. That is taking a risk. Okay, well, on the other side of our thought process, when we think about risks, rather than thinking of it as a negative thing, there is another term where we can talk about risk as being a good thing. Okay, this is what's referred to in the business world as a calculated risk. Anybody ever heard that term before? It's a calculated risk. It's something that you have thought about and planned to move forward with regardless of the consequences. And let me give you just a non-business world example, but how many of you came in a car this morning? Okay, driving is risky. Okay, you can get in accidents. There are things that can happen. Okay, but you took a calculated risk by saying, I don't care what the risk is. I want to go to church, and this is how I'm going to get there. It's too far for me to walk or whatever it is. So you calculated the risk. You thought about it for maybe not even thought about it. Maybe just kind of did it. Okay, but you moved on past the risk element and said, the end result is good enough. It is worth going, and therefore I'm going to pass by that risk that is potentially there. Okay, the dictionary, again, defines a calculated risk as a hazard or chance of failure in which the degree of probability has been reckoned or estimated before engaging in the activity. Okay, we do stuff all the time. We, you know, ride a horse or we ride a motorcycle. We take a thought on what the risk is involved in that, and we choose whether we do it or not. We calculate that risk. We estimate what it is, and then we engage in that activity. This is the kind of risk that I'm talking about today. Okay, it's the kind of risk that is in play each and every time that you act upon something by faith. Okay, because by faith, you're putting yourself out there. You're putting basically God on the line, saying, God, I am, because our faith is in God, right? Not in what we're hoping for necessarily. So our faith is out there in God, and we're putting him on the line that I am trusting you that this is going to come to pass. That is extending our faith by accepting the risk that what I'm praying for may or may not happen. Okay, obviously we believe, we hope that it will, but there are times when it doesn't. Okay, the verbiage that we say sometimes about walking by faith, okay, which the Bible describes that we are called to do, it implies that there's going to be some action applied to your faith. Okay, there's going to be something that I believe, therefore I do, therefore I step forward in that direction. And when we apply our faith, it means that we don't just pray and sit back and hope something happens. We apply our faith and we move forward as if it is. We believe that God heard, He answered, and that we're stepping forward in that direction. Okay, now James, the brother of our Lord, said it very plainly that faith without works is dead being alone. Okay, in other words, faith without works or some action to go along with it is dead all by itself. Okay, so this morning I want to remind you of some examples, some things that come straight from God's Word about men and women of God who walked by faith. And I think you'll see what I mean. There was an element of maybe or maybe not, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, now Peter was a great example. Emily mentioned him earlier this morning about how he got out of a boat, right? He walked on some water. He took a huge risk when he intentionally got out of a boat and walked on water to get to his Savior. Okay, that was an act of faith that was so powerful that it's still being talked about 2,000 years later. I mean, it was something that we don't see or hear that happening very often. Okay, but Peter didn't have to do that. You ever think of that? Peter walked on, got out of a boat, walked on water towards his Savior, but he didn't have to do that. So why did he do it? Why did he get out of the boat? Why did he step on the water and say, Lord, if that's you, you remember the situation? He could have stayed in the boat with all the other guys. They were afraid. They thought it was some spirit or ghost or something walking on the water coming to them, and they're all afraid. And Peter says, Lord, if it really is you, bid me to come to you on the water. And the Lord says, come. And that's all Peter had to hear. He scrambles down out of the boat, and he starts walking towards his Savior. Okay, he knew that at that moment, that was enough. He stepped out of that boat because in his mind, it was an expression of his faith in his Savior. In his mind, that meant, I believe that's you and that you are a miracle worker. I believe that what I can do because of you in my life is greater than what is natural ability. I believe that I can walk on this water, which is not, you're not able to do, right? Even Moses didn't walk on water. He parted it, right? Okay, so he believed in something that could not happen. Peter didn't even hesitate at that moment. Okay, he scrambles out of that boat, steps on the water. They describe some of those boats, if you've ever seen what some of those little ships look like. It wasn't like a little tiny rowboat where you just step over the edge. You probably had to kind of climb down. It was more of an effort than we often think about. Okay, the Apostle Paul would be another great example of somebody who took calculated risks, who thought about what was involved in it and did it anyway based on his faith. Okay, one time he was warned by a prophetic word not to go into a certain community because they said that he would be bound both hand and foot with chains. In other words, he was going to be arrested. Okay, and Paul's response to that was that I understand the risks involved, and I'm not only willing to be put in prison for my faith in Christ, but I'm willing to die for Him as well. Okay, we can read that. It's in Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 10. He said, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, okay, his undergarment, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. In verse 13, Paul answered and said, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, he knew what the potential consequence was. And since it was prophesied, it was going to, in his mind, come to pass. That's why he said, I'm willing to not only do that, but I'll take it the next step if that's what it takes. He was willing to do whatever was necessary to carry out the message of Christ. You know, there's a message that Jesus taught the disciples that Luke recorded where Jesus implies that there is an element of risk involved in living the Christian life. Okay, and because of that, your faith, he implies, should be extended out to you towards your future. Okay, your faith is something that it's not always just right here in front of us, and I'm going to pray for this and see it happen now. Our faith is actually hoping and extending out towards something in our future. Okay, that's why he gives us a hope and a future. Okay, it anticipates the final fulfillment. Okay, let me show you what I'm talking about. See if you can grab this. Luke 14:28. Most Bibles, this is in red. It's the words of Jesus. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost?" There's that calculating the cost. "Whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest happily, after he lays the foundation, is not able to finish it, and that behold, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, but was not able to finish.'" Okay? A calculated risk is about the end result. Okay? It's about having a goal in mind. Something that the key word in this passage is the word finish. If you didn't pick that up, it's in there a couple of times. Because the goal was not to start it and not finish it. The goal was what? Finish it. Right? If you're going to begin something, finish it. Okay? It's about taking your faith from, "I'm going to try to get halfway there." It doesn't work. When you apply your faith, stretch it out all the way to the end result. What are you looking for? What is it that God has laid on your heart that you're desiring out here? That is the finish line. So don't settle for something that is less than that. Okay, a calculated risk is about having a goal in mind, something that you're reaching for with your faith, that you won't settle for less than that. You know, if you're desirous, if you're willing to accept the final result only, then step out in faith and see what happens. Okay, but if you're willing to accept a lesser, I don't know if we're really applying our faith the way that we could. Okay, if you're going to pray and believe for this out here, then don't settle for this up here. I'll give you an example. I heard a story about a preacher. He was anointed by God. He was gifted, anointed by God. They were having revival meetings at their church. It was a big ministry. People were coming every night to these revival meetings. They were getting saved. They're getting healed. Okay, people are being delivered of lifelong disorders and diseases. But there was a woman that came to the meetings every night in a wheelchair. And one night, this minister felt like the Lord was saying, "Go down to her and pray for her that she may have strength in her legs." So he did just that. He gets off the stage, he climbs down, he walks up to her, he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he pulls her up by her hands, and she falls flat on her face on the floor. Okay, now that man could have stopped right then and there and accepted defeat. He could have accepted that and walked away in embarrassment, said, "Sorry, I thought I had enough faith to do it," or whatever. He could have apologized, but that... her laying on the floor was not what his faith was believing for. That's not what he envisioned when God said, "Go pray for this woman for strength to be returned to her legs." So he picks her up again. His faith was that she was going to receive the strength in her legs. So this time he picks her up off the floor, pulls her up by her hands, and said, "I said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And this time her legs were instantly made strong and she stood up and praised God. Okay? His faith was not that she ended up on the floor. He was believing that she rise up and walk. That's what God wanted to do. That's what was on the line. Okay? Now he took a major risk in even doing something like that. Okay? His reputation as an evangelist or preacher was on the line. But in his mind, it was not his reputation that was on the line. It was God's. Do you see that? It's not about you. It's about God and His power. If He wants to work through you, then let Him work through you to accomplish what He wants to do, to get all the way to the end result. God didn't want that woman in that wheelchair anymore. He spoke to the guy and said, go pray for her. It's time for her to get out of that chair. So he went down and he wouldn't accept anything less than that. That man's faith was that God was capable and that God would not fail. He knew that God was able to heal her, and that was going to be the only acceptable result. That's the end. That's the finish line. You know, taking a calculated risk doesn't mean necessarily that all the elements are going to be there in the natural for this miracle to happen. Okay, sometimes we pray for a miracle when it's potentially going to happen anyway. That's a great way to do it. It's a great way to build your faith, I guess. But you're praying for something that everything is there, it can happen. Okay, the calculation should simply be that we're believing that my God is willing and able to make the end result happen. That's faith. Okay, many remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Okay, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. It is believing and hoping for something that is out here that we see no possible way for that to happen. Okay, now that passage goes on to say that by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice unto God. By faith, Noah built an ark and saved the world, right? Saved the people so that we could continue on as the human race. Abraham, in that chapter and other places, is coined by us as the father of faith. Okay, simply because he was willing to go out into a land that he knew nothing about, didn't even really know where he was going or why he was going. Okay, he had no way of knowing in the natural what would befall him there. All he knew was that God said go, so he went. Okay, you know, Hebrews 11:8 tells us that. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not even knowing where he was going. By faith, you remember his wife Sarah had a son when she was well past childbearing age. Hebrews 11:11 tells us that. It says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had made her the promise. Okay, why was she able to do what was perceived to be impossible? It's because she knew that God would fulfill that promise. God is the impossible doer, not us. Okay, if you remember that story, she had originally LOL'd, right? She laughed out loud. Okay, at just the thought of her having a baby at her age. She overheard the angel telling her husband and she laughs out loud. Thinks this is kind of a joke, but you know what happened? She started thinking about it. And she started thinking and thinking, and pretty soon it dawns on her. The more that she thought about it, she realized that it was not her that would be doing the miraculous. It was God. It was up to God to produce the end result, and she knew that He was fully capable of anything. You know, if you think about Jesus, there's several instances in the Bible where there's many people and He has compassion on them and He wants to feed them. So we ask, what do we have around us? And they say, well, we've got a couple of loaves of bread and a few fishes. And what does He do? In the presence of thousands of people, He takes this little tiny bit of food, holds it up to God and says, God, I thank You. Bless this food. And then He gives it to the disciples and it feeds everybody. What is He doing when He does this? He is applying works to His faith. He's saying, my faith is in God to multiply this. My faith is in God to take this and make something special out of it. His reputation was on the line. Imagine Jesus saying, God, take this, multiply it, and then giving it out and only two of the disciples get to eat that day. Okay, it wouldn't have went over very well. Jesus was applying works to His faith, just like James had described. Put something to it that says, I'm trusting in You, God, to bring this to pass. I am stepping out in faith. Okay, if you think about another calculated risk, think about the faith that Jesus' mom had when they go to a wedding in that little place of Cana. Okay, and the host of that wedding, these were friends of theirs, and the host of that wedding says, she overhears them say, "We're running out of wine." Okay, she had no idea how Jesus would handle that situation. Okay, Jesus could have, he said, "Oh, they're running out of wine. How? Well, let's take up an offering. Somebody can make a wine run down to the liquor store." You know, he could have said that. He could have went some other direction. But she believed by faith in the end result, which was that her faith is now stretched out there. My son is a miracle worker. My son will take this and supernaturally you're going to have wine. She believed that from the inside out. That was down inside of her. So what does she do? She tells the servants that are standing there, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Okay, she was the original Nike spokesperson, right? Just do it. And so the servants did. Jesus said, go fill these water pots up with water. And they go and do that. When they bring them back, they're all full. And he says, now pour out of one and go give it to the most esteemed person in this party. Jesus' faith and Mary's were both taking a risk at that moment. But they believed the end result was that Jesus was going to miraculously produce wine for this guest, for their friends, for this party. So they believed in that what came out of that water pot was going to be wine. You know the story. They go and give it to him and he says, this is the best wine. You've saved the best till last. Okay, they were applying faith and they were expressing it through taking a risk. Okay, putting something out there that if it doesn't go the way that they're anticipating, it's going to look bad for God. Okay? We don't force God's hand, but God moves by faith. We trust in him. Without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to even please God. Okay? So I want to encourage you this week to take some risks of faith. Okay? Step out and see what the Lord will do. Because I promise you, he is much more capable, much more willing to do much, much more than you've been asking him to do. You know, I asked the Lord when I was meditating on this word that God started speaking in a couple weeks ago, and as I was praying about it, I thought, what is it about why do we hold back? Why, even myself sometimes, why do we not step out in faith? Why do we not take that risk? And I kid you not, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me two words. He said, Gary, it's called being gun-shy. Being gun-shy. That's what I heard. So I got up in the next morning. Okay, I got up and I went to look up that term. I wanted to look up a definition of what does it mean to be gun-shy, if that's what the Lord says is the issue. It means to be hesitant, wary, or distrustful, especially because of a previous unpleasant experience. It means you tried and it failed. Okay, you tried and had a bad experience with it. But you know what? Sometimes you have to accept the truth about what really happened and get over it. I'm speaking to myself. God did not fail you. God has never failed you. If you think about Peter again, by faith he took a risk, he stepped out on that water. But if you know that whole story, after taking a few steps, he took his eyes off of Jesus, started looking at what was around him, and he began to sink into the water and Jesus had to save him. Peter could have considered that a previous unpleasant experience. He could have considered that I tried and failed. I was embarrassed. I didn't make it. He could have never stepped out in faith again. But he didn't let it hinder his faith. In fact, just the opposite. Peter went on to be one of the boldest disciples to ever live, preaching and leading thousands of people to Jesus. okay, because of his faith. It was very shortly after this, if you read this in Matthew, that he actually declares, "Thou art the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. You are the Christ." His faith was not wavered by that. Because guess what? He stepped out of the boat and he took a few steps on the water. Okay, he had a little bit of progress. Okay, it wasn't all a fail. Okay, he could have considered that a previous unpleasant experience and never gone out and stepped in faith again, but he didn't. Okay, if you're blaming God for some kind of a tragedy or some unpleasant experience in your life, you don't know the God that we serve very well. Okay, I speak from personal experience. A few nights ago, we had a cow. It wasn't just any cow. We live on a ranch. It was our milk cow, family milk cow. I told you about her before, right? I had to pray. She was almost, I thought I killed her, and I didn't. Okay, and she was fine and living, and she got sick, had pneumonia just recently. And so I prayed, I laid hands on her. I did what I felt the Lord was showing me to do for her, and she got through it. She got better. I went out, the last time I went to give her a little shot of penicillin, I had to chase her down. She had so much energy and was back on her feet. Things were going well. The next day, I went out, and she was sick with something else. Okay, and I went through the same thing. I prayed. I actually went out. This time, I was out at like 6 o'clock at night. It was Friday night. She was down, and I knew it was bad, and I thought, going to have to call the vet in the morning or do something. I wasn't sure what to do. I went in the house. I had prayed. I thought, I'm going to go back out and pray for this cow again. And I did. I went out and I laid hands on that cow. I kid you not. I prayed, believed God. I'm trusting Him with everything I could. I decreed and I declared that she was going to get up, that by morning she would be healthy. I believed that that was going to happen, and I went to bed. And I went out the next morning, crack of dawn, 6:30 in the morning, and she was dead as could be. Okay? I don't know if I should have opened this can of worms or not. That's why Margie's down during worship this morning. It was our family cow. We see her twice a day. We pet her on the head every day. It's like a dog. Okay? It's hard. I bawled like a baby all the way to where I buried her in back. Okay? Driving on a tractor, just sobbing. Okay? It was hard. And I exchanged words with God. Because I prayed and it didn't come to pass. And I'll tell you, my first response was anger. I got mad at God. What do you mean? I thought you were strong enough to do anything. I thought this was going to happen. And it didn't. Okay, and I had it out with God for, I'll tell you, at least a couple hours. You can ask my family. I wasn't much fun to be around yesterday because I was uptight and now I had new stuff to deal with. We have a calf with no mama, okay, and having to deal with this stuff, and he's going to be okay. But it was at that moment when I went back and read my sermon and I thought, I'm preaching to me, okay? Because I'm not going to turn away from God. I still believe that God can do anything. I will still lay hands on the next cow or person or whoever it is. I'm still going to believe that God can do anything. Okay, I don't understand everything, but I know that God can do it. I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him heal broken bones, heal eyes, cure cancer, you name it. I've seen it happen. So I do not believe for a second that God is not capable, that for some reason the devil is now stronger than God. I do not believe that. And I won't. And so as I speak this about blaming God for something that happens in your life, okay, we have to recall who God is. Because God loves us. God cares for us. God said He will work all things together for your good, and that's what He will do. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. Okay, He has good things in store for you and not harm. Jeremiah 29:11, our last verse. God said, "For I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Okay, in other words, God is saying, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. I have plans to take care of you and not abandon you. I have plans to give you the future that you hope for. I have plans to give you the future that you hope for. Okay, don't accept that. If this didn't happen this time, it's not something that I'm not going to say it'll never happen, because that's not the result I am hoping for when I pray for healing. Okay, I can't explain it this time, but I know that the next time I'm still going to be believing for that which I hope for. I want to encourage you this week to take some risks when it comes to the things of God and the Holy Spirit. And when you don't die, you'll probably take another one. Okay? You'll step out again. And God will answer. Sometimes there's smaller answers. Sometimes it's bigger ones. We don't always know, but God does. Okay? When you have an opportunity, get out of the boat. You know, take the little bit that you do have and give God thanks for it. Anticipate that the end result is going to be good, because the end result is going to be God. So make that phone call, apply for that job, reach out to that person, take a stand for what is right, ask for healing, believe for the end result, put your faith in motion, and I believe when Jesus sees your faith, He will act upon it. Father God, we're praising You this morning. It's easy sometimes to praise You when everything is going well, Lord. But I choose to praise You even when it's not. I choose to praise You even when things didn't go the way that I had planned. I exalt You and worship You and lift You up higher above anything in this present world. Father, You are doing what You can do every day in our lives as we yield them to You. So Father, this week I pray, help us to step out in faith. Help us to believe beyond ourselves. To start setting goals and believing for that which is out in front of us. Father, I pray that You'll put things in our heart that are challenging for us, things that will cause us to have those moments where we get to decide whether we're going to accept that risk and step out or not. And I pray that You encourage us, Lord, every possible time to take that step of faith. I know that You'll work all things out for our good. You'll take us further than we've been. You'll help us through the times, even when it didn't happen. And You'll get us to a point where it does, and it does, and it does. Father, we're trusting You this morning. We yield ourselves to You, and we thank You for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.